Having now entered into the new year 2022, we do hope everyone's new year has gotten off to a good start. However, no doubt we are all concerned with many situations going on in the world around us. Yes, tragedies, disasters. We can't name them all without taking up most of the program. The pandemic, of course, still going on. So the question we want to ask is, how has these concerns affected our faith? And are we trusting God in all situations? It would be good to answer yes, and hopefully that's the case, because if it's not, then we better do something about it. So let's go to Psalm 62 this morning for our study. And again, we want to trust God at all times. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, in Martinsville. What are we doing in our Bible classes? Well, we're studying God's Word, of course. And then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also with the knowledge of the truth and following the New Testament pattern. And thus, John 4:24 would apply, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies, and we do hope that you would take advantage of that. And your Bible questions, comments, they're always welcome, positive or negative. You can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. We're going to Psalm 62, and we're entitling our study, Trust God at All Times. And now, this Psalm 62 is a Psalm of David, the sweet singer of Israel. The words of this Psalm are not limited, of course, to the time of David, but they are applicable to all times. So let's make the application to our lives. Whether we're living in a good and prosperous time or troubled and hard times, and that's probably the case for most of us, isn't it? Let us always remember, trust God at all times. Let's begin with verse 1 here in Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall, a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. And so here we need to do what? We need to wait on God. David had such a trust in God that no matter what was done to him, he still would wait for God's deliverance. And that's what we need to do. Wait on God. Notice in verse 2 and verse 6 both, David used these terms. He only is my rock. Well, that would be a place of safe refuge. Going to Deuteronomy 32, let's notice here what Moses, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote. He is the rock. His word is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. And we could all, of course, say amen. That's exactly right. God is the rock. His work is perfect. There's no flaw with God. And all his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth. He's without iniquity. Yes, with perfectness, no blemish with God. Just and right is he. And this is David's attitude. Notice in the New Testament now, referring to Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So are we in Christ, the place of safe refuge, having forgiveness of our sins, no matter what happens to us physically? We're prepared for death. So let's appreciate this term. Then David used another term, my salvation. Well, salvation is deliverance that comes only from God, as Christ is our salvation. As you note in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, the question was asked, by what name or what power have you done this? And it was by the power of God, of course. Yes. But notice also here the other term that's in verse 2 and 6. Excuse me. And that is defense, or a high place where you have a protected high place, that is. And certainly this is the case when we're faithful in the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Are we looking for that way of escape when the temptation comes? That's certainly what we need to be doing. Now, in verses 3 and 4, David understood that God will take vengeance upon evil men. Yes, they will be taken care of like the bowing wall and a tottering fence. It's going to fall. And they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. These are evil people. But you see, God will take care of this situation. It's not for us to retaliate, seek revenge. Of course not. We need to have such a faith in God that we would submit ourselves to his will, even if it means being put to death. Revelation 2:10, we'll receive the crown of life, the crown of victory. Notice with me now in Romans 12:19-21. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, are we doing that? Or are we trying to get even with someone that has wronged us? Well, that's not the Christian way, is it? God will take care of this situation. We need to do good, and perhaps that will overcome the person that they would change and give up their evil ways and even become a brother or sister in Christ. That's what we desire, is it not? In 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be in that group, because notice, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God is going to take care of the wicked. We better not be among them. If we're lost in our sins, we're among them, whether we consider ourselves wicked or not. But you understand, this says that those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be punished. Not temporary, it's everlasting destruction, and it's away from God, yes, and from the glory of his power. We better appreciate the fact that God is going to take care of the wicked, and again, we don't want to be among them. You see, sometimes those that are evil join forces to destroy the righteous. This is Verse 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. So those that are doing evil, consulting with others, joining forces together. But we must always remember what Jesus said concerning his sheep and be sure that we're one of his sheep. John 10, 27, John 10, 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Note that. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's right. In Romans 8, 31, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or another way of putting it, what does it matter who's against us when God is for us? It doesn't matter, does it? But let's go on, verses 5 through 8, here in Psalm 62. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now notice, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. We need to trust God alone at all times. That's the emphasis of our study this morning. And we see David's trust was only in God. He was not moved by difficult and troubled times. And as you study the life of David, you know he had a number of troubled times. You see, David did not trust in himself or his material possessions, but turned to God for direction in his life. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou upon, only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And you see, David derived his strength from God. Verses 6 and 7, he knew in God he had refuge, he had safety, and he was not to be moved. He held God in reverence and urged others to place their trust in God as he had done, verse 8, and again, trust in him at all times. That's for all of us, isn't it? But here's something to emphasize. we must never, never, never lose confidence in God, regardless of the difficult times and circumstances of our life. We don't know what's going to happen this year, for sure. We can make plans, but they can fail. We need to have confidence in God, regardless of what's coming. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Are we doing that? Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, not half a heart, but all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. We don't know the way without God's direction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's put that to practice. And we need to ask for God's providential care. In 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's right. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But are we asking? Are we seeking? Are we knocking? That's what we need to be sure of. So, we need to appreciate God's providential care working in our lives if we're faithful. God's general providence supplies the air we breathe, the rain, the sunshine, all the things we need to live in this life. That's on the good and the evil. But God's special providence, that's for those in his church, the church of Christ, that Jesus purchased with his precious blood. And thus we can appreciate God's special providential care as we pray for that to continue in our lives. Now, since the current direction of our country is moving away from God now more than ever, we need to remind ourselves to trust God no matter what happens. It could get a lot worse, couldn't it? Unless there's a great revival, that's more than likely going to be the case. Sad to say, I don't like saying that. And I hope there will be a great revival. Well, let's go on. Verses 9-12, let's finish out our study of Psalm 62. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. We must not trust in man when it comes to our eternal destiny. Yes, as we've emphasized, we need to wait on God. We need to trust God alone at all times, and we must not trust in man when it comes to our eternal destiny. Well, David, he did not fall for Satan's devices when it came to his eternal destiny. When David did sin, as we know he did with Bathsheba, he repented and sought God's forgiveness. When he numbered Israel, again, he sought God's forgiveness. We need to realize that men of every degree in life, whether poor or rich, when it comes to our eternal destiny, we're not to trust those in either case. And David realized, yes, that men of every degree in life, whether poor or rich, were not to be trusted when it came to his eternal salvation. to his eternal destiny. Verses 9 and 10 bear that out. We need to have that same attitude. Not trusting those that may be close to us, no matter what their circumstances are. When it comes to our eternal destiny, we must trust only God and stay with his word, no matter how many do not. You see, we're going to be in a minority when we go the narrow way, when we go through that straight gate. And narrow is the way, yes, to lead to everlasting life. And few there be that find it. That's what the Lord said. Are we of the few or of the many? When you stay with the word of God, there are going to be those that will not like it because they have not stayed with God's word. They've been misled and they believe false teachings. And when you are not going along with them, that can cause problems. Yes, of course it can. But again, we must not trust in man when it comes to our eternal destiny. And David realized that God is the only true source of power and that his mercy is extended to sinful man. Verses 11 and 12. Yes, power belongeth unto God. David did not receive God's mercy without obedience to God's commands, though. That's right. Just as we must respond to the love of God today. God has spoken, and we must hear what he has said through the Holy Scriptures. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who misunderstands that? Romans 10, 17. Our faith must come by the word of God. Not what somebody may have said or told us, but it has to come from the word of God. Notice 2 Timothy 3. And this would be 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Nothing is left out. It contains all things unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, 3. We need to appreciate the word of God. That's right. And live by it. Do we utilize the power of God through the gospel of Christ? As Paul understood the power of the gospel, did he not? When he said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's it, isn't it? That's right. The power is of the gospel. The power of God. And this is what we must seek out, the truth. When it comes to our eternal destiny, man's philosophies and strength will fail us. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118:8, Colossians 2:8 in the New Testament, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So, no man can deliver us from our sins. No man can give us eternal life. Only Jesus Christ can save us from our sins and receive us up into heaven, yes, the heavenly realm, to present us to God the Father as we submit to his doctrine, as we are added to his body, the true church. By his blood are we cleansed in the watery grave of baptism. So only through Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14, 6. How many ways are there to heaven? Excuse me. The Bible says there's only one way, and that's the way we must go. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's when Jesus will present the church unto God the Father in heaven. So we must be in the kingdom of God. We must be in the church of Christ to have salvation. And God will render to every man according to his work. Yes, there in verse 12, to every man according to his work, as we finished up Psalm 62. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to appear if we're accountable. And this is according to what we have done, each individual, that is, what I've done. I will give an account. And so will you. So the problems of this present time, they may get better, we hope so, or they may get worse. We might better prepare, not might, we better prepare for the worst. But our salvation in the Lord will not change if we remain faithful. So we all need to do what? Let's emphasize this. Wait on God. Yeah, that's right. Wait on God. Trust God at all times, and not trust man or riches when it comes to our salvation. That's right. And that's not difficult to remember, is it? We need to patiently wait for God's will to take forth and come forth. That's right. Not expect God to do everything like we think he should. No, God knows everything. So we wait on God, we trust God at all times, and we're not going to trust man or riches when it comes to our salvation. Do not trust anything other than God when it comes to our salvation. And we must obey the gospel of Christ to really trust God. And that begins with our hearing the truth, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Once we believe Jesus is the Christ, we should be motivated to repent, make a change of wills, and do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having done that, now we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave where we're contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to his body, the true church. Romans 6:3-6, Acts 2:47. We're going to then strive to live faithfully, even if it means our death. Revelation 2:10, we'll have the victory, the crown of life. We stand ready to assist you, and we thank you so much for listening today.